This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. What a show I have today. Now, I've now hosted over 235 shows, and I think this is the most important show I've ever hosted. You will not want to miss this. You have cats. You heard about decline. Just wait. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Michelle Fern here, and you know saving cats is near and dear to my heart. Did you know that there is an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay-neuter, that number will keep growing. Not only does spay-neuter mainly reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10, spelled out, T-E-N.org.
Need the perfect gift for the cat lover in your life? Check out comfortdiva.com. We have cat-tastic gifts to make you smile, like cat-themed tote bags, kitchen towels, quirky mugs, and stylish t-shirts. For holiday gifts or anytime, comfortdiva.com has it all. Treat the cat lady in your life to something pawsome and save 20% with coupon MEOW20. Visit ComfortDiva.com today because every cat lover deserves a little comfort. ComfortDiva.com, where comfort meets catitude.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome my guest today, Dr. Jennifer Conrad. She is a veterinarian and she's the DVM of Paw Project, and Todd Beaver, he is the director. And let me share with you the title. The film is American Cats, The Good, The Bad, The Cuddly. The narrative is also amazing by Amy Hoggart. She's not with us today. This is some film. Welcome, Dr. Jenny, and welcome, Todd.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so excited to have you. You know, I've done a lot of cat shows and I thought I knew a lot about cats and I was aware of what declawing was, but not this. But I'm getting a little bit of a head. Can you both share your backgrounds with us so that our listeners are familiar with your backgrounds?
Sure. My name is Todd. I'm the director of the documentary, The American Cats, The Good, The Bad, and The Cuddly. I come from television world. I was a director for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee and Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show. I also won an Emmy for my documentaries at The New York Times. So that's a little bit about my background. And I'm the director of this film that we're here to talk about.
And I'm Jennifer Conrad. I'm a veterinarian and I'm the founder and director of the Paw Project, which is pawproject.org. And we are the world's largest nonprofit dedicated solely to ending the cruel practice of declawing, which actually should be called de-knuckling.
The documentary that you created is absolutely amazing. It is extremely informative. It is so interesting, and you picked the right person to narrate it. Amy has that bit of sarcasm that just fits. And I can't tell you how much yelling and emotions that I went through watching the film, because it's just unbelievable. But can you tell us a little about what the movie is about? I mean, I kind of gave it away, but I'm sure you have more to add. It's called American Cats, The Good, The Bad, The Cuddly. And then, well, let's go with first. What is the movie about?
Yeah, it's a movie. Well, Jenny is the subject of the movie, and it's really the story of her struggle to end the act of declawing in the United States. So I met Jenny a couple years ago, and I'm a documentary filmmaker, and I'm always looking for things that are absurd in the world. And, you know, my background is in comedic documentaries. Like I said, I worked at Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, which is where Amy Hoggart and I we started working together, and Amy and I met Jenny, and we heard her story, and we knew that this story of a veterinarian who was trying to do what you think every veterinarian should do, which is protect animals, was instead ostracized by her, the very community that she was part of and you thought was there to protect our animal friends. So yeah, we followed Jenny on that 20-year journey, and it's pretty amazing. And just you know, we're friends now, and I really admired her story. So, but all of Jenny, I don't know, Jenny, you can fill in like some of your journey more than me.
Yes. And I just want to say, Dr. Jenny, you are the subject. What you have done is nothing short of amazing. Yeah. If you can share your view of the movie.
Well, thank you. And thanks, Todd, for saying all that. And thank you, Michelle, for having us on the show and being such an advocate for cats. This is a movie about the struggle to ban declawing in the United States. Now, everywhere else in the world, pretty much, it's illegal to declaw. And when we went to Canada in 2015, the Canadians readily changed their laws to ban declawing, all except for Ontario, which we're hoping will change in the next year or so. But when you're a veterinarian and you know something is so wrong, like declawing, which as I said, should be called denuckling, then it becomes a struggle to change the profession. And I've taken it upon myself to protect cats against veterinarians who want to declaw them. And that is a big struggle. And I was so grateful that Todd Bieber, the director of the movie, recognized the absurdity of declawing and yet how profound a difference it would make in cats' lives if we could stop declawing. So his vision of making a movie came to fruition, and we're hoping that all these cat people who are listening will do everything they can to watch it and to let their veterinarians know that they should stop declawing.
I hope so too. You know, I did my own, once I viewed the movie, I did my own little survey and asked friends, you know, do you know what declawing is? Do you know what? And I was shocked at how many people did not know. And as you said, Dr. Jenny, denuckling. But can you share with our audience, they're cat lovers, they should know, but not everybody knows what declawing actually is.
Sure. So declawing is a misnomer. It should be called denuckling. It is the amputation of the last bone in every one of a cat's toes because the claw in a cat grows from the bone. Our nails grow from skin. So it's not some pulling out the nails, something like that. It is, you have to amputate the bone in order to remove the claw.
So this I had a hard time understanding. Why do veterinarians do this? I mean, I know that they don't have the same oath to protect, or that just started recently in the last decade or so, to protect animals like they have the Hippocratic Oath for people. But why would a veterinarian do this when it's maiming an animal needlessly?
I think it's because they think that they're doing, if I give them the benefit of the doubt, then it's because they feel like they declaw in a way that's more humane than the guy down the street. That they declaw with pain medications or with laser or whatever, like it's a better way to do it. So they do it. They also make a lot of money doing it. We know that. But I think most veterinarians, you know, think about this. If someone comes into the vet office and says, I want you to declaw my cat, the vet can talk the person out of it and make no money by talking the person out of it, or can just say, okay, and make, you know, $900 to $1,600 by doing it. And I think vets sometimes feel like they don't have enough time to try and talk people out of it, so they just do it. And that's why it has to be illegal.
That's exactly why. I can't wrap my head around why they would not. I mean, it's something that's done to correct behaviors, but it actually backfires.
For sure. It's like, you know, in human medicine, the last time they did a surgery to correct a behavior went out with lobotomy. And yet in veterinary medicine, we have declawing and devocalization is where they cut the vocal cords of a dog or a cat so it can't bark or meow. We have tail docking, which is where they cut the tail so that that other dogs can't see the tail wagging, or ear cropping, and then the dog's ears are always up, and that is a very aggressive stance. There are all sorts of things that we do to modify animals to make them more convenient or more scary, maybe. But we really don't have the right to do that. And these are non-therapeutic surgeries. They have absolutely no benefit to the animal. And yet they're done all the time.
And you mentioned you go into a lot more detail, of course, in the film. But, well, I know there's a lot wrong with our country. And I'm not going to get into politics because we're not a show about politics. Why is it that the U.S. is so behind other countries in banning declawing?
Well, so what happened is declawing took off in the United States and Canada in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and became a regular thing. It became a way to supersize a spay or neuter. It became a moneymaker. But when the guy who invented it took it to England and said, hey, look at what I can do, the British vet said, oh, wow, you're mutilating an animal for a few extra $100. We're not going to partake in this. And the same with the rest of the world. They thought it was sadism, so they didn't start doing it. But in the United States, it really got promoted by the AVMA and by the vet who invented it, this guy named Grant Meisner. And so it became a staple in veterinary medicine. I have talked to vets who say that if I ban declawing, they're going to lose so much business. But it's not true, because the truth is that people are looking for a veterinarian who's humane. And one of the ways that they test to see if they're humane is whether or not they'll declaw a cat. So the truth of the matter is, if you look at vets who don't declaw, they make more money because they keep the cat as a patient for the cat's entire life, as opposed to vets who declaw, then they lose this patient because the patient's going to lose its home due to the fact that it's biting or not using the litter box.
You described declawing, aka also you said denuckling. But for those of us, so for us humans, so if you took your finger and you went to the first knuckle and just cut that, that's kind of what it would be like.
That's exactly what it's like. It's cutting off the third bone in the finger, the tip of the finger, that bone is cut off. And cats have three little bones in their toes, just like we have three little bones in our fingers. And they're cutting off that last bone. And it's permanently changes the way the cat walks. It's painful because you can imagine that when you cut those nerves and you cut a bone off, that's permanently, it's going to cause pain for the rest of the cat's life. Whether the cat shows it, you know, it's harder for some people to understand pain in cats. But if you have any empathy whatsoever, you can imagine that cutting off that bone is going to cause pain. And this is why these cats come home from the surgery, they go to use the litter box, and it hurts to dig in the sand. And they say, that's it, I'm not using this box ever again, it hurts too much. And then they realize that they don't have their claws as a way to protect themselves, so they have to resort to biting. And this is true in domestic cats, the ones we have in our houses, and true in the big cats. They bite more when they're declawed.
You know, it is true, cats are stoic creatures. But in the film, you kind of mentioned, or somebody mentioned, that it's kind of like if you had pebbles in your shoe for us humans to try to understand, you know, and walking like that.
If we call it a pebble in the shoe just because everyone knows how irritating it is,
right,
to have a pebble in your shoe. But can you imagine if that pebble were under your skin and it was sharp and infected and it was an amputation site? So you can imagine how painful that is for these poor cats. It changes their anatomy. And there's a reason the rest of the world doesn't do it. There's a reason why the Royal College of Veterinary Medicine calls declawing unnecessary mutilation. It's because it's wrong. It's not even a controversial subject. It is wrong.
I absolutely agree. And then the other thing is that when they declaw it, a lot of times it needs to be repaired because there's still bone or tissue, or I'm not the vet, so you know, but there's still some pieces left behind.
Exactly. And then and Todd, the director, he said, well, can we follow a declawed cat, the journey of a declawed cat? And maybe Todd, do you want to explain what you thought about poor little Burrito?
Wait, I love this story about Burrito. We have to go for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support Catitude on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
I'm very careful about the products that I choose because I have built a reputation over 4 decades where cat parents trust me and they know that when I recommend a brand or talk about a particular product, they know it came from my heart and I really believe it. I've done my research with Pet Greens. I love the products. I love the quality. And one of the things that I feel just stands out is the education that Pet Greens provides. They guide you every step of the way. It's a relationship. I know how much they love cats and how much they love cat welfare and cat health, and that's their motivation.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Todd Bieber and Dr. Jenny Conrad. Todd directed the movie American Cats, The Good, The Bad, The Cuddly. So, Todd, we followed around Burrito, who was adorable. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, the story, we really wanted to tell a story from not just Jenny's point of view and her struggles through legislation and battling the different veterinarians over the course of her 20-year crusade, but we wanted to tell a story from a cat's point of view, because it's, you know, we should be listening to our cats. We love our cats. And so we ended up finding a cat named Burrito, who was turned over to a shelter and was in a kill shelter and marked as aggressive and possibly could hurt someone. So he was marked to be killed, and he had been declawed on all 4 paws. And so we follow Burrito as he is removed from that kill shelter, is rehabilitated to the best of his abilities. And I'll let Jenny explain how a cat can do better after surgery to correct some of these issues, but they're never the same and it's always painful. But luckily we follow this really beautiful, fun cat. And I won't ruin the ending, but I will say that we have a happy ending in our movie.
Okay, thanks. So Jenny, what did they have to go through, just briefly, rehabilitating Burrito?
So Burrito was declawed presumably as a baby, and they used a guillotine to chop off his toes. And he lived like this for a while until the people who had him decided that he was too aggressive, so they gave him away. They dumped him, actually, in a kill shelter. And the only note that we knew about him was that he was aggressive. And this is what happens with declawed cats. They have no way to protect themselves, so they become hypervigilant and very often highly aggressive to protect themselves because they can't swat anyone. Their claws, they don't have any claws. And so he almost lost his life. We got him out of the shelter, and then we pick up his story because, as I said, his paws were mutilated and he was walking on the pebble in the shoe. But the pebble in the shoe, as I said, is not just a pebble in your shoe. It is on an infected amputation site. So you can imagine how much that hurts. And by removing those and putting cats on pain medication, we can stop them from being so aggressive and make them much more adoptable. In fact, we have probably done this same surgery. The Paw Project has probably done the same surgery on over 300 cats. And every single one of them was about to lose their lives because of the fact that they were aggressive, were not using a litter box because their paws hurt so much. And by doing some surgery on them and providing them with proper pain management, we have been able to find every one of them a home. So that's the best of veterinary medicine, is repairing these paws. But the worst of veterinary medicine is declawing.
It just shouldn't be done. It just shouldn't be. And one of the things that drives me crazy, and it was actually an interesting part in the movie, and I won't give it away, Todd, but I don't get why people, you know, you have a cat, you have a dog, and then kids do the same thing, and you worry about things like your couch. You know, I don't understand why people are not educated better, or maybe they lie when they go to adopt.
Oh, I agree with you. Well, what happens is they either have always had declawed cats and been oblivious to the problems that those cats have suffered. I one time talked to a teenage boy whose parents had declawed his cat, and I said, so do you think your cat has any problems in his paws? And he said, no, but I wouldn't know for sure because I can't touch his paws. I was like, there you go. But, you know, obviously that never, he never put that together. So these people either push their vets to do it, or the vets have it in a kitten package where the, you know, you get a spay, a declaw, vaccinations, and a microchip, and that's part of the package.
You brought up something interesting too, because you said that about kittens. A lot of these surgeries happen to little tiny kittens.
Exactly. Way before they've had a chance to learn that they're not supposed to scratch the sofa. But also, they always seem to happen in people who are intolerant of cats. So here's what happens is these people are intolerant of a cat scratching. And so they don't want to even have cat-friendly furniture in the house. Like they don't want to have scratching posts or scratching pads. And then they wonder why this cat comes home from surgery and it starts peeing on things that are soft, like sofas or rugs or beds. And then this cat will likely lose its home because the person's intolerant of cat behavior from the beginning, but wasn't willing to make any of the adjustments that you have to make when you have a cat. You have to have scratching posts if you're going to have cats in your house. You have to have scratching pads. You have to have all these things. We don't have anything in our lives like scratching. We don't have anything that gives us such joy and is such a natural behavior, but cats do. And in order to live with cats, you have to accommodate that.
And you have to just have in your head to deal with it. That's what I think. I have scratching posts, but one of the cats likes a section of the couch. And, you know, I bought my couch with the idea that I have pets. So what's going to be the best kind of couch for me to get? And literally, that's why I bought it. And at that time, there were 3 cats and 2 dogs. Now 2 dogs are in doggy heaven. So we have the 3. Plenty of scratching posts. One likes the rug. I don't know. And if you have cats, they scratch. You don't buy a sofa for $5,000 or, you know, just keep in mind they scratch. You don't buy a rug for thousands of dollars unless you don't care if the cats scratch it. That's my opinion on that.
Or you keep the nails short and you provide everything else for the cat to scratch on. And you, the funny thing is, you know, we've made it illegal to declaw cats in Beverly Hills, which is a place that has very nice furniture. And in San Francisco, the same. And in New York City, these places have places with very nice furniture. And yet, by making it illegal, we've actually protected these cats. They're keeping their homes because people don't have this stupid alternative of trying to declaw the cat. And now they have to make their houses cat friendly.
That's a good point, too. I guess, you know, if you want to spend that much on a couch and you have, you know, can get your cat's nails trimmed and it works, that works too. What about the idea that since the vet community is not always a great advocate, and I know shelters and rescues have enough on their plates, but do you think they could do a better job of explaining declawing to the public?
I think they could. They do the best they can. Most of them have it in their contracts not to allow the cat to be declawed, but the veterinarians who are doing the declaws obviously are ignoring the contracts. And I think that what we have to do is change the way that the United States sees cats, and they need to see that declawing is below the standard of veterinary care. It needs to be codified as below the standard of care, so no vets are doing it, and then it would no longer be an option, and that would be the best thing for cats.
Todd, if you don't mind, Dr. Jenny, can you share where Paw Project has been successful in banning declawing?
We've banned declawing in multiple cities and 2 states, Maryland and New York, 9 out of 10 Canadian provinces. And I said Ontario is poised to go in the next year or so. But major cities across the nation, including Austin, Texas, Madison, Wisconsin, Pittsburgh. So I think the number of cities is about 21. Washington, D.C. is one. And what we found in all these places is that cats aren't losing their homes because they're declawed. In fact, we found that cats are keeping their homes because they're not being declawed.
What can our listeners do to become more involved in banning declawing?
Well, there's two things they can do. The most important thing is to join the Paw Project mailing list so we can find you when we need you for legislation. And the next important thing to do is to, if you have streaming services like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, any of those things, write them and request that they show American Cats, the good, the bad, and the cuddly. That would be very helpful because if it got on a major streaming service, then we would have it in everybody's homes. And then the AVMA cannot hide their shame. They can't pretend that they don't know what they're doing to cats. And I think if the AVMA were just to say that declawing is below the standard of care, period, end, that's all they have to say, then veterinarians would really have to stop doing it.
For those that don't know, what is the AVMA?
The American Veterinary Medical Association. It's the trade association that has money to influence politicians.
Okay. Thank you so much for everything. Right now, where can people see American Cats, the good, the bad, the cuddly?
Well, right now, it's in the LeMay Theaters in Los Angeles, and we'll be having a screening in Windsor tonight. So those are pretty short term. But after that, we'll be hopefully, like Jenny said, coming to a Netflix near you or one of the other streaming services. But the best way to keep up with it is to, like Jenny said, go to the Paw Project or go to, if you're on Instagram, at American Cats Doc. That's at symbol American Cats Doc, D-O-C.
Okay. And again, Dr. Jenny, where can people find out more about the Paw Project?
The best way is pawproject.org or on our social media, which is at Paw Project or at the Paw Project. And you'll know it's us by the fact that it's all about declawing.
I want to thank you both so much for creating this movie and educating the public on declawing. Thank you so much for coming on Catitude. I hope this gets to Netflix or another streaming service. It's so good and it's so informative. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you all enjoyed this show. I think it's one of the most important Catitude shows I have ever done. Please be sure to check out pawproject.org. Also, as you know, you can go to Pet Life Radio, go to Catitude, and the show page for this episode will have the link as well and some information about the Paw Project. I want to thank Dr. Jenny Conrad and Todd Bieber for coming on Catitude. I want to thank my cats that all have their claws. Thank you, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Thanks to my audience for listening to Catitude. I appreciate you so much. You guys are amazing. So thank you for your loyalty. I appreciate it. And of course, thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic and making this show sound so great. And remember, lose the attitude, have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.